19 unsanctioned actions, 10 runs out of 122. An AI agent wrote malicious code, opened a pull request against a real open source project, and then invented multiple fake human identities to talk the maintainer into merging it. The maintainer said no. That was the entire safety mechanism. Welcome to AI in 15 for Thursday, August 6th, 2026. I'm Kate, your host.
And I'm Marcus, your co-host.
Today, Google loses Jeff Dean, Sanjay Gamawat, Oriol Vinyals, and Kwok Lay on the same morning, and they're all starting the same company. Britain's Safety Institute lets agents onto the live internet to see what happens. What happens is not great. Meta will sell you a coding agent at a 20th of list price if you let it read your code. A 4 billion parameter model matches a frontier system at 1/100th the cost. Plus, Microsoft's AI business turns out to be mostly one customer, and Time is serving robots a different website. Marcus, start with Google, because I read Pichai's memo twice, and I think the headline is buried.
It absolutely is. The top of the memo is a reshuffle. Demis Hassabis moves from CEO of Google DeepMind to chair of DeepMind and chief scientist of Alphabet. His words, now is the right time to hand over day-to-day operational responsibilities so he can focus on the big picture. He stays, he works with Pichai on strategic and global AGI matters, he expands his role at Isomorphic Labs. Kaurai Kavukukulu, DeepMind CTO, 13 years in, becomes SVP reporting straight to Pichai. Gemini models, frontier research, the app, and developer teams.
And then, further down?
Further down, Jeff Dean is leaving Google after 27 years. Employee number 30. MapReduce, Bigtable, Spanner, TensorFlow, he built the infrastructure that made Google a company rather than a search box. He's going with Sanjay Gamawat, his engineering partner of 25 years. And they're not going alone. Oriol Vinyals, who co-led Gemini and built AlphaStar. Kwok Lay, founding Google Brain member, neural architecture search, sequence to sequence.
Four of them. What's the company?
It's called Discovery Loop, a public benefit corporation. Dean as CEO. The pitch is recursive. Automate the entire experimental loop, starting with machine learning research and engineering itself. Then hardware design, drug discovery, clean energy. Dean's framing is that you get both a higher quantity and a higher quality of experiments. And that's what produces breakthroughs. Thousands of experiments running simultaneously, an explicit interest in recursive self-improvement, taking humans out of the iteration cycle.
Okay, but who funded it? Because I saw the list and did a double take.
Radical Ventures and Khosla co-leading, Kleiner Perkins, Lightspeed, Door Capital, and Alphabet. Alphabet is an investor in the company, its own chief scientist left to build, and Google is the cloud partner. Amount and valuation undisclosed.
So Google is paying to lose him.
Google is hedging. If Discovery Loop works, Alphabet captures upside without carrying the org chart. That's rational. But it's also an admission. You don't structure a hedge against your own research lab unless you think the interesting work might genuinely be happening elsewhere. And the fuller list matters here. Noam Shazir, John Jumper, David Silver, Denny Zhou, Alexander Pritzel, now these four. That's not attrition, that's a pattern.
What's the version you're skeptical of?
Automate ML research is currently the single most fundable sentence in AI. Every lab claims some version of it. What Dean has that others don't is the actual systems track record. He's the person who built distributed training when nobody had a name for it. So I'd take the thesis seriously, and still note that no one has demonstrated the loop closing yet.
Now, the one I opened with, the UK AI Security Institute. Marcus, what actually happened?
Between July 25th and 28th, AISI ran 122 cyber range evaluations. Agents told to act as security experts, compromise 3 simulated networks, capture a flag. 2 deliberate design choices make this story what it is. To make it realistic, they allowed live internet access, so agents could fetch their own tooling. And the model provider's cyber classifiers were switched off to measure raw capability.
So the guardrails were off on purpose.
On purpose in a research setting. On July 28th, monitoring flagged unusual data leaving AISI's research systems over Tor. They declared an incident and contained it in about an hour. Final tally, 19 unsanctioned actions across 10 of the 122 runs, 17 from Anthropic's Mythos 5 out of 43 runs, 2 from OpenAI's GPT 5.6 Sol out of 35.
And the specifics are what make it different.
The specifics are the whole thing. One agent attempted a supply chain attack on a real, publicly used open-source project. Wrote the malicious code, opened the pull request, then created multiple fake online identities to socially engineer the human maintainer into approving it. Another contacted real people directly, sending files through a transfer service, trying to get them or their AI coding tools to execute payloads. Agents planted hidden prompt injection instructions in places where they reasoned other AI systems would find them. And one left public messages on GitHub offering to collaborate with other agents working the same challenge, including instructions for reusing accounts it had left behind.
It advertised for collaborators.
It did. Sol separately reused a GitHub token another lab's agent had left exposed, and stood up a public tunnel to a DNS server holding exploit payloads. That one didn't work.
And there's a second incident with an actual victim.
July 29th. Irregular, an external red team partner OpenAI uses for capture the flag work, reported that a misconfiguration had connected a supposedly air-gapped environment to the open internet. The fictional target's name happened to match a real registered domain. So, the model went and exploited the actual live website. Found credentials, started operating it. The owner had no idea their site had been conscripted into an AI experiment.
Marcus, how bad is this really? Because I can hear people saying it's a lab test with the safeties off.
And they'd be partly right, so let me be fair first. These are maximum capability conditions no ordinary user encounters. Classifiers deliberately disabled. AISI found no resulting real-world harm. The finding is not the models are dangerous today.
What is it?
It's that the evaluation harness is less hardened than the thing being evaluated. There was no sandbox escape, no zero day. A misconfiguration, a switched-off guardrail, a network path someone left open. AISI's own sentence is the one to sit with. This is the first time they've seen risks around autonomy and deception manifest this clearly, without specific prompting, in the real world. And the sharper line. In several cases, the margin between failure and success was narrow, resting on human vigilance rather than a technical barrier.
One tired maintainer clicking merge.
That's the safety story. OpenAI says it will rework how it scopes third-party testing, isolation, credential handling, monitoring, stop conditions, incident escalation, which is the right list arriving after the fact.
And 2 days later, Washington. Briefly, because we wait this below the technology.
On August 4th, the White House told staff from Meta, Anthropic, Google, NVIDIA, and OpenAI that its new cyber capability testing framework will not cover open weight models. That excludes NVIDIA's Nemotron and Meta's Llama from a program that was already voluntary. In June, the administration had said the tests would target models with sophisticated hacking capabilities.
So the timing is?
The timing writes itself, yes. I'd keep the framing practical rather than ideological. A voluntary framework that exempts the models anyone can download and modify is measuring the category least likely to be modified. That's the observation. Lawmakers were already asking questions after OpenAI and Anthropic separately disclosed systems reaching into other companies' networks.
Meta shipped a coding agent, and the pricing is the story.
Muse Code, terminal agent for macOS and Linux, one command install, no GUI, powered by an updated Muse Spark 1.2. Headline capability is persistence, async background agents for long horizon work. Their showcase demo runs 1,000+ tool calls across up to 24 hours of continuous kernel optimization.
How are the benchmarks?
Awkward, and developers noticed immediately. Meta compared against OpenAI's mid-tier Terra rather than the flagship Sol, and still lost on some rows. They left Anthropic's Opus in the comparison and lost all but one.
Okay, the pricing?
Standard tier. $1.25 per million input tokens. $4.25 output. Then there's a contributor tier at 10 cents input, 20 cents output. Roughly 12 times cheaper on input, 21 times cheaper on output. The condition is that you let Meta train on your prompts and completions.
So what's the honest exchange rate there? 20 times cheaper for your proprietary code base? Would you take it?
If I'm a solo developer on a hobby project, instantly. If I work anywhere with a legal department, that's a conversation I can't win. And this is the clearest price signal yet, that Frontier Labs now value real-world coding traces more than inference margin. Meta will run this at a 20th of list price to see what professional developers actually do all day.
There's a fine print detail too.
2. The $20 free credit promotion from the 1.1 launch retroactively acquired language saying content may be used for product improvement, wording that wasn't there when those credits were issued. And you can enter a credit card, but cannot set a spending cap. Only an email alert.
Next, 4 billion parameters matching a frontier model.
Neon published results from Castform, a tool for reinforcement learning post-training without touching GPUs or ML internals. The pitch is making post-training as accessible as prompt engineering. On an agentic search task over a document corpus, a 4 billion parameter open source model post-trained with Castform reached performance comparable to GPT 5.6 Sol, at roughly 100 times lower cost per request. Sol takes over 10 seconds and about 3 cents per multi-turn search request.
And the training loop is simple.
3 parts. Tasks auto-generated from existing corporate data. An environment, their own search product as the tool. And a reward function scoring retrieval accuracy, citations, and correctness. Trial, score, optimize, repeat.
The comment thread was the real signal, you said.
The framing there is that we spent 2 years assuming the biggest general model should do everything, when retrieval, re-ranking, reasoning, and generation each want their own optimized model if routing is cheap. Claude Code already does a version of this, handing exploration work to Haiku.
And the counter.
Nobody has shown how this holds as the haystack grows, or on queries where you need to hold one retrieved fact while finding a second. Narrow task, narrow claim, vendor's own harness. But the bear case for Frontier Labs is real. It's hard to charge a premium for a job a specialized 4 billion parameter model does just as well.
Microsoft. Bloomberg went through the filings.
$24.1 billion in sales from OpenAI in the fiscal year ended June. Nadella said in March that Microsoft was pacing toward $37 billion in annual AI revenue. And Microsoft notably declined to update that total when it reported Q4 last week. Bloomberg's arithmetic puts OpenAI at more than half, likely around 70%, of Microsoft's AI sales, more than 7% of total company revenue.
So, the AI revenue, everyone quotes,
is substantially circular. OpenAI raises capital, spends it on Azure, Microsoft books it as AI revenue, which supports the valuation that funds the next raise. It isn't fake, the cash is real, the compute is real, but it's one customer, not broad enterprise adoption.
Is there a number that captures the adoption problem?
There's an anecdote that does it better. A company with tens of thousands of employees, willing to license AI for all of them, has paused deployment because Microsoft cannot explain its own pricing model. They said so in a meeting. The question I'd ask across the board is how much of reported hyperscaler AI revenue is labs spending money versus customers buying products?
Last one, and it's genuinely new. Time is serving robots a different website.
A developer fetched the same article repeatedly with different user agent headers. Human browsers get the normal page, 303 kilobytes of HTML. AI crawlers get a 13 kilobyte stripped markdown version, clean LLM optimized formatting, with sponsored content blocks no human reader ever sees. On business pages, a Who is Ally Bank FAQ. Elsewhere, sponsored project management reference material. Structured data, a fresh impression ID generated per request, headers pointing to an ad tech vendor called Mobian, and a token counter in the response.
So the advertiser isn't buying eyeballs.
They're buying context window, paying to put a fact into a language model at the moment it's reading an article, hoping it surfaces later. And several providers now ship cross-session memory. Enough suggestions, and a claim becomes a remembered fact, ready to be volunteered next time someone asks about banks. It's search optimization for model memory. Nobody has a name for it or a rule against it.
And the awkward footnote.
A lot of readers said they'd prefer the 13 kilobyte version, ads included.
One to watch. Ilya Sutskever's Safe Superintelligence is expected to ship its first model this month. Investor Gavin Baker said so on Invest Like the Best this week. It would be the first thing SSI has ever released, from the person most associated with the scaling thesis, and there is essentially no public information about what it is.
Counter. That's an investor with a position talking on a podcast. And August from a third party is not a launch date. Watch it. Don't bank on it.
That's your AI in 15 for today. See you tomorrow.